Hello, welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, with the charitable voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Charitable indeed.
Yes, mate, I like this story. This is a good festive tale.
It was a good thing that Watford do, Watford FC. They have lots of different things going on in the community, and something they've been doing recently, they've got a workshop effectively. So there's several people with dementia come in each week, and they try and get an ex-pro down each week. So the likes of Luther Blissett, Lloyd Doyley. I went this week just gone, which was great. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, we like to give back, don't we, from time to time. In fact, I'll make that point, actually, because not a lot of people know this, but we do give a very small contribution for those that come on our show each week. And in fairness, I think it's fair to say that every single goalkeeper that we've had on has given the money to charity. So every week, each of our guests have given £50 to various charities around the country. So we like to do our bit from time to time.
We do. Lovely stuff. Well, a goalkeeper that is not giving any charity is Alan McGregor. Because we're going to go straight to Scotland for an unusual twist in this week's Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Rangers v Motherwell, 2-0 to Rangers. But at the time, he made a save from Chris Long, a point-blank header. It was 1-0, a quite incredible stop.
Brilliant stop. And for me, it was kind of Schmeichel-esque. You know, we think of the old Schmeichel star jump, which became famous at the time, and he was certainly very, very good. I always remember the one he made against Inter Milan, a brilliant one he made, coming across his goal. Big star jump. Now, there's a time and place for doing this. Ordinarily, it's not a technique that I would advise, because ideally, if you can stay on your line and you've got enough reaction time, then you've got more chance of reacting to the ball as opposed to committing yourself. So the ball needs to be pretty close to you in order to do this. So this is what made the save so impressive for me, was the fact that he was able to close down the angle quick enough and spread himself in such a way that he was so close to the attacking player that he was able to then make the save. So it's a split-second decision. It was the right decision. He made himself massive, and he got just enough to put it around the post. Brilliant save.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant save. I like the bit at the end, which you flagged, to be fair, where he dragged the player down with him.
As he's gone down, he just happened to pull him down with him, but of course you're never going to get done for that. So it was just cute goalkeeping, let's say.
Is that what that is, cute goalkeeping? Because I've heard goalkeepers in the past as well saying, oh, just leave a knee up as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's certain things you know you can get away with, I guess. You know, for instance, on a corner, a classic one will be that, and I actually advise this to young goalkeepers. If you're getting penned in, for instance, on a corner, you don't want to give them a big push, because of course you could get seen, you could give away a penalty, but just to give the smallest nudge to give you some space to operate to then go and attack the ball, in my book, is okay, especially if they're on you and they've got their arms around you and they might be treading on your toes. Just to give them, normally with the forearm, just a little nudge, give yourself some area to operate in, and then you can go and collect the cross, hopefully. It's similar with this. As he's going down, he realises the player's there. The player's probably not getting the ball anyway, but just knowing that as he's going down with his momentum, for me, there's nothing wrong in just giving the player a little nudge.
Okay, well, we're not going to get to the Premier League just yet. We will in a moment, but I want to flag a save I saw in the Championship at Ashton Gate, Bristol City losing again to Blackburn. At the time when it was 1-0 to Blackburn, Christian Walton, an incredible stop from Nicholas Eliasson. Now, this is akin for me to Roman Bürki's stop for Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League during the week, and that might be a bit extravagant, I might be exaggerating, but this is a goalkeeper on loan from Brighton, by the way, 23 years old now, so you'd think at some point he's got to get his chance at Brighton or potentially move on. Had two very good seasons on loan at Wigan Athletic as well, but this was a deflected shot from Nicholas Eliasson. Great save.
Yeah, building a good CV, first and foremost. As you mentioned, he's racking up a lot of Championship games, and I think it's been a bit up and down, it's fair to say, at Blackburn this season. Of course, David Rea moving to Brentford and Christian Walton coming in. But recently, certainly Blackburn's good run recently has coincided with a really good run for him as well. And this save, it's going to be similar analysis to what we gave last week in regards to, it's that drill that you do over and over in training where you go down, make a save, and then your goalkeeper coach might then throw the next one in the top corner. So you're down, up, across, big save. So it's that power. Once you're down on the floor, how do you get yourself up? And especially on deflected shots, it is exactly that. Can you spring up really quickly and then get a big top hand from time to time in order to put it around the post? And he showed he's a big man. So to show that agility, to show that power, it was very impressive.
Sticking with the Championship, Preston v Luton, and a great save from James Shea, but unfortunately Paul Gallagher has this style of taking a penalty, which isn't anything new, but of course just puts the ball down with his back to goal, strides up to the edge of the area, and then instantly sprints towards the ball and normally smashes it home. He's got a great record. Shea saved it, but spilled it right back to Gallagher, who smashed home the rebound. And what I thought was funny was the reaction from Shea, because he was furious with himself.
Yeah, well, it's the biggest frustration. You make a save and there's nothing worse than that, because you know you're so close to being the hero. The fact that you've actually done the hardest bit, but you just can't get it away from danger.
It is worth mentioning, by the way, down at the other end, Declan Rudd made a great save, a 1-on-1 from Harry Cornick, and then a follow-up save from Pelion Panzu. Now, he gave an alternate reaction to James Shea. He was delighted. It was quite interesting to see him celebrate whilst the game was still going on. Made the save from Harry Cornick, and then, after celebrating, made another very good save from Pelion Panzu. Preston getting the victory, of course, on that occasion. Stoke Reading, 0-0. Not a single shot on target for either goalkeeper, Jack Butland and Rafa Cabral. Is that a good day for a goalkeeper or a bad day for a goalkeeper?
I mean, ultimately, a clean sheet's a clean sheet. And I think at the end of the season, given that a lot of stats, for me, the clean sheet stat's a bit of a nonsense one anyway, because, of course, if you're playing for a Liverpool or whoever it might be, then, of course, you're going to keep that many more clean sheets than if you're playing for Watford. So it's a bit of a nonsense stat. However, it's amazing how many times you'll see a goalkeeper displayed on Sky Sports News and they'll have the number of clean sheets next to their name. So if you have that dream game where you don't have a shot on target, you're absolutely delighted. This didn't surprise me that this game would be a draw. It was the kind of game that you felt that neither team could afford to lose. And certainly with them both being reasonably close to each other, Reading will be more than pleased with the point. Stoke, with what they're trying to do, and they've had a dodgy run recently, will be happy enough with the point. And certainly both goalkeepers will be delighted with a clean sheet.
We spoke to Joe Hart about that, didn't we? About the Golden Gloves being re-evaluated, I suppose. And I actually heard an argument the other day where I was talking about save percentage and someone said, I don't want to hear about save percentage. I don't really care about that. It's now all about the XGA.
Yeah, expected goals against. It is. And certainly there's a lot of stats out there. Certainly Opta, StatsBomb is another one that's gone big on the XGA. For those who don't know what it is, expected goals, you might see it on Match of the Day. At the end of each game, it comes up with the XG. What they've effectively done is flip it. So, you know, it's how many goals should a team have scored. And of course, if the goalkeeper's conceded less than what should have been scored, then that's a positive day for the goalkeeper. Interesting, I know we're going to touch on Dylan Phillips shortly. I know he's been leading the stats in the Championship recently, from what I understand. So it's a way of doing it. I know the save percentage, again, because that can be warped, given that if you are playing for a very good team, it might be that the majority of your shots are from distance. So, of course, you're going to save that many more than if you're playing for a very leaky defence and you're having lots of one-on-ones to deal with. So XGA is probably the best that we've got at the moment. Even that is flawed to an extent, but certainly it's probably the best that we've got out there at the moment as to judge. Certainly a goalkeeper on shot-stopping ability anyway.
Okay, you mentioned Dylan Phillips there. Charlton 2, Hull 2. I think that's without a win in 10 now for the Addicts. And so close. And Dylan had been solid pretty much throughout the game. Made two brilliant saves from Jared Bowen and Jordi Devise down to his left. Yeah. And then right at the death, it was a King Lewis Potter header. Again, down to his left. But this one, did he slightly misjudge it? Was it an error or was it just a lack of fortune?
It's a tricky one. And you're right, Dylan's been fantastic. I think every Charlton fan will agree with that. I know the plaudits he's been getting week in, week out. And he was fantastic again in this game. And the commentators were giving him all sorts of praise. And it's a frustrating one. I think we've all experienced that, where it's that it's obviously bounced just in front. The bounce isn't quite as he would have expected, it's fair to say. And it only needs to be slightly off and it can squirm under you. And then, of course, he hasn't quite got enough of a contact. Look, how much of a mistake is it? How much of it's bad luck? It's hard to say. He would have been frustrated, certainly given the high standards that he set for himself. But I think, you know, I go back to the fact that he's had such a solid season. He's been brilliant. It's one of those moments. It's frustrating more so as a Charlton fan, as a Charlton player, the fact that it has now been as many games as it has. They started the season exceptionally well, certainly way above any expectation. They've been doing it with a threadbare squad as well. They've regularly had a minimal number of players on the bench. So they're still massively overachieving. But you certainly feel from Charlton's point of view, they need to get that win soon. Certainly from Dylan's point of view, he just needs to keep doing what he's doing.
Commentary Corner. Okay, it's to Old Trafford for Commentary Corner. Probably won't be surprised to hear this. David De Gea and the goal, the Victor Lindelof own goal against Everton. Of course, United equalising later in that game through Mason Greenwood, but Everton going ahead through that Victor Lindelof own goal. Now, there are quite a few comments on this one. I'm going to rattle through them and then let you have your say on the error and kind of what you think of the comments. We've had a lot of tweets in as well, so I'll read a few of those out too. Now, first off, Gary Neville. De Gea, Well, that's back to his early days at United, getting bullied by the two onrushing Everton attackers. Makes it a nightmare for the Manchester United defender. The goalkeeper has to punch into the studio with Graham Souness. It's obviously a foul, but the goalkeeper has to have a close look at himself. He doesn't come with any conviction, turned side on. I think there's a real argument for it not to be allowed, but if I'm in charge of that United team, I'm blaming the goalkeeper. He comes sideways. If he's strong in that situation, it is not an issue. That is a very poor effort at punching the ball. If he comes out with some real conviction and punches it well out of his box, you're not even mentioning that it's a foul. Julian Lescott, he doesn't really want to punch, soft in his approach, which means he's not sturdy in his jump. It's easy for it to look a foul. And Bakary Sagna, I wouldn't say normal contact. He was asked whether it was normal contact. The goalkeeper should be stronger and make a statement with his positioning. For me, it's a foul. It's clear Dominic Calvert-Lewin avoided the keeper to use properly his arm. By De Gea's reaction, I think he knows he could have done better and he should have done better. He's not clearly convinced the goal should have been disallowed. And then right at the end, Graeme Souness came back in, clearly continuously contradicting himself. Calvert-Lewin has his arm on his face. How is that normal contact? As a pro, I'm looking at this thinking, my goalkeeper has to do better.
Clear as mud.
Yeah.
Clear as mud. Look, it's a foul. It is a foul. Now, it is two separate subjects here because, yes, David De Gea could have done better. Like as he's approached the cross, and there's actually one of the comments there was right. He hasn't approached it quite as he should with enough conviction, enough power. Ordinarily, you're taught to have your knee up as protection, but you actually see where his knee's positioned. It's slightly back towards goal, interestingly. Like he is slightly side on, and he's got a technique about him where he's quite dainty, if that's the word almost, where he kind of approaches it, he glides, and he then goes for his little punch, where he gets a little pop on the punch, and he might get 20, 30 yards. In fairness, he's good at punching the football, and he's done that without a lot of conviction. Now, if he doesn't get touched, then he does get that little punch, and he'll punch it back out of the box, and it'll be fine, and you'll say it's good goalkeeping. However, it is a foul. So, look, I've found this tough to... I've had so many people speak to me about this over the last couple of days, and it's a tricky one because ultimately, for all the criticism you can give the goalkeeper, and you can say, look, he should be more dominant. You know, you think of, use a Peter Schmeichel as an example. He would really come out and be so dominant and you know, probably go with two hands to punch it and take out any defenders, any attackers, sorry, in his way and really just clear everybody out. It's the old cliche. If you're going to come, you come the whole way and you take everybody out. Now, that's not David De Gea as a goalkeeper. It never has been. Cross-taking's never been a massive strength. It's something where he would always back himself onto his line and make a point-blank save, given how good his reactions are. That's the type of goalkeeper he's been, and he's been fantastically successful at it. So if you're looking at this, you would say, yes, he can do a little bit better. Yes, he can be a bit more powerful. Yes, his knee could be pointed out slightly. Yes, he could probably go with two hands. However, it's a foul. He would normally, if he doesn't get the contact, if he isn't... doesn't have the arm on his face, if his hand isn't moved, you're only talking a couple of inches, but that's all it takes for you to then miss the football and, of course, it go in for an own goal. So for all the criticism you can give David De Gea, it doesn't get past the fact that it's a foul and VAR has let him down massively there.
OK, well, we put this out on Twitter and opinion was split, as you'd expect. Adam Collin, the Carlisle United goalkeeper, De Gea doesn't get any help from his defenders, but still has to be miles stronger and dominate the situation. Big error for me. Paul McMahon, De Gea sets himself up terribly and then bottles it, but I still think it's a foul. Casey said, I wouldn't say so. A keeper of David De Gea's ability and intelligence has to anticipate a challenge from an Everton player. If that was two outfielders going for a header outside the box, the question wouldn't even be asked. De Gea simply has to be stronger. Glyn Charles, so how do you concentrate on catching / punching the ball and protecting your face from someone pushing a hand in your face? So it pretty much went back and forth like that.
Yeah, for me, it's, I suppose if you go back to the rule book, and as far as I'm aware, if you are challenging a goalkeeper when they're jumping and you affect their technique, as far as I'm aware, that is a foul in black and white. Look, I agree with a lot of the comments made there. De Gea can be stronger. Do other goalkeepers in the Premier League do a better job with that particular situation? Yeah, they do. You know, similarly how we spoke about certain goals that go in, and we'll often use David De Gea as the example, who might be the goalkeeper who makes a save, given how fantastic he is in terms of his athleticism, his power. But when it comes to cross-taking, there are other goalkeepers that would have made a better job at that. But it doesn't get past the fact that for me, and I'm pretty sure according to the rule book, and pretty much everybody that was watching it at the time thought, oh, that's going to be disallowed. And when it wasn't, there was a moment of shock because you've seen it again and again. The arm is across the face. It has impacted. Look, ultimately, if the player's not there, does David De Gea punch the ball to safety? Yes, he does. Does the player actually get anything on the ball? No, he doesn't. Therefore, it's a foul. It's as simple as that.
We also had a tweet in from Mike Pollitt, ex-Wigan goalkeeper, started his career at United, actually. Currently goalkeeper coach at Bolton Wanderers. I don't know whether this is banter or what, but he said, punch with the wrong hand, speak to many goalkeepers who don't practice punching with their weaker hand. And Scott Carson replied to that, actually. He said, boring, boring Mike, with a crying with laughter emoji. But is that true? A lot of goalkeepers don't practice with their weaker hand.
It's an interesting comment, actually, because I think back, like I was right-handed in terms of writing, so I would always prefer to punch with my right than my left. However, I did practice with my left because there's certain techniques you'd use at certain times. Ordinarily, if you can get two hands to it and punch it with two hands, it goes without saying this is the safest. You can get the largest surface area if you put your hands together. It's hard to describe, of course, on air, but you put your hands together, you get the largest surface area. Effectively, you create a square that you can then punch the ball with. That's the best way to do it. Now, there are times, though, when you're going to need to go with one hand. For instance, if it's over your head and it's at the back stick, it might be that you can just parry it back out for a corner, or you can parry it back out into play into a safe area. But this is where, if you've got that one-handed punch, you can help it on in a big way. That's a good example. David De Gea's technique, you see, I think he possibly can go with two hands there. Does he go with a left hand? And that would be the other way in which he could do it. There's a bit of a risk to doing that, and you're coming across the flight of the ball. So I do think, where possible, you stay with the flight of the ball and go back against it if possible. So I think going with the right hand wasn't necessarily wrong. I personally would have gone with two hands in that particular situation. I think Mike makes an interesting point. Mike, of course, who's just left Rotherham to go to Bolton. In fact, we need to get him on the podcast. He'd be an excellent one to get on. Fantastic career as well. Some interesting... Look, really fascinating. I love the fact that we've had such debate on this week. It's great that so many people are writing in. And it's so interesting how there are so many different opinions on this, which is one of the beautiful things about goalkeeping. A lot of the time, there is not necessarily a right and a wrong. There are so many different views, and everyone's got a point.
Indeed they have. And if you'd like to hear, or if you'd like us to hear your opinion, send them in at GK Union on Twitter, or hello@goalkeepersunion.net. Arsenal getting truly trounced by Manchester City at the weekend. You've got to feel for Bernd Leno, because he is one of the better players in what is a pretty terrible Arsenal side at the moment. Made a great save denying Kevin De Bruyne his hat-trick.
I would say, and you might correct me now with another save, but I think this is save of the season. And for me, it's the fact that it's not just the save itself, where it's so powerful to get up into the top corner in the way that he did and get fingertips and put it onto the post. Brilliant. But it was actually before that as well. If you watch his positioning, it's very intelligent. Given the way the ball's coming to De Bruyne, given the angle of strike that De Bruyne's having on that particular football, he's taken a position that's slightly to the left of the goal. Now, to me, that makes sense, because the flight of the ball was always going to go out to win. So even if he's going into the other corner, effectively it would have started towards him and then would have curled outwards to the other corner, if that makes sense. So the position that he's taken is absolutely perfect, whereas a lot of goalkeepers might have taken their position half a stride or even a full stride to the right in order to be a bit more central. So he's read the game incredibly well. His set was perfectly timed. So as De Bruyne has struck it, you can see that he's setting at exactly the right time, and the explosive power to get himself up into the top corner, fingertips onto the ball. Technically, it was just an absolute dream. And to make the save, that beats near enough every goalkeeper in the Premier League for me. Near enough every goalkeeper in the world. So to make that save, for me, because of so many different factors, not just the physical, but also the tactical factors involved in it as well. His positioning, even the amount of yards, it was a couple of yards off his line, just everything was absolutely spot on. For me, that save of the season.
Wow. Okay. Tough being a goalkeeper in front of what is a shambolic back four at the moment.
It was a masterclass from De Bruyne on the day, and again, there's only so much you can do as a goalkeeper, and of course at the moment they are having a tough time. And for him, he's just got to keep doing what he's doing. I think, in fairness, you know, he's had a few lows, it's fair to say, since he's been at Arsenal. But he's certainly growing with each game, you feel. And certainly, for all the issues they've got, that's one area of the field that you feel he should be able to continue to establish himself for some time.
Just the one shot on target for Arsenal in that game. Do you know who else had one shot on target this weekend, Richard?
Go on.
Thibaut Courtois.
Really?
The Real Madrid goalkeeper, yes, leapt like a salmon to meet Toni Kroos's corner right at the death against Valencia. They were 1-0 down. Courtois' header parried by Jaume Domenech, the Valencia goalkeeper, standing in for Jasper Cillessen, of course. And the rebound smashed in by Karim Benzema.
Fantastic. It's always nice to see that, isn't it? A goalkeeper, there's nothing quite like a goalkeeper coming up into the box in the last minute. The excitement it brings, however, rarely actually makes any difference.
Be good for him as well, to be fair, because he's had a stop-start time since he's been in Madrid.
No, he has. I don't think they've... Well, in fact, they haven't taken to him as much as maybe he would have liked, certainly. So, no, look, moments like this, great for him. He always gave the impression that he was a bit of a funny character, probably similar at Chelsea, where he wasn't fully loved. And look, it doesn't really matter, I guess. Most goalkeepers don't care. Most players don't care. Ultimately, you go out there, you do your job, you try your best, and whether people like you or not doesn't really matter. However, if you are a goalkeeper that you want to get the fans on your side, there are certain simple things that you could do. But certainly when you have moments like this in games, these are the kind of moments that will bring fans on side.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper caper.
A few contenders for keeper capers this week. Camille Grabara gifting Josh Windass a goal. The Huddersfield goalkeeper gifting Josh Windass, the Wigan Athletic attacker, a goal in their game. It's not going to be that. Dimi Konstantopoulos making his second debut for Hartlepool in an FA Trophy game against Harrogate Town. It's not going to be that. What it is going to be is Schalke goalkeeper Alexander Nübel. And I mean, this is reminiscent of Tony Schumacher on Patrick Batterson in the 1982 World Cup. Just an incredible, incredible situation here. He has stormed out of his goal against Eintracht Frankfurt. It was Schalke v Eintracht Frankfurt, and Frankfurt midfielder Mihat Gacinovic has been annihilated, basically. He has been floored. Nübel has come up chest high and sliced him down the pecs. Incredible scenes.
Yeah, I know. I've watched it several times and it makes you wince every single time. The force in which he's hit him. And I mean, look, we've all had that, actually, all goalkeepers. That moment when you come out and you know you're not quite getting there. And naturally, it's similar to when you're in the box. You just want to get something on the ball. So you just throw everything at it. Like, certainly when you're in the box, how many times have you seen it where the ball's there, you can see it, you just run and just, you forget about your safety for that particular moment. You just throw your head at it, you throw your body at it, and you try and get whatever you can. You don't care about injury in that particular moment. You're just desperate to make the save. I see this and it's kind of similar in that you could see that he could sense he wasn't quite going to get there. So he's just thrown his entire body. The problem is, of course, he's gone foot first. It's so dangerous. And I believe the lad was okay, thankfully. But what a dreadful, dreadful challenge.
Awful.
The referee comes straight over, instant red. He's got absolutely no complaints whatsoever. I'm just glad the player's okay because he absolutely annihilated him.
Yes, of course, we don't condone violence here on the Goalkeepers Union podcast. And Gacinovic did actually put an Instagram picture out and he has got marks on his... I mean, it's horrendous. He is okay, but the marks are unbelievable.
Yeah, it's tough because if you're in that situation, and I always try and give advice on this show, like what happens where you commit? Because you'll often get the old cliche, well, if you come the whole way. Well, that's fine, but to an extent, what do you do when you're here? When you realise they're going to get there before you, do you then stop and let them go around you? Again, that's not going to look particularly good. So you have to be committed. I think it's just being careful in terms of how you commit. This is often where we see red cards where they might try and go around you and you handball it, for instance. But I think once you've gone, I do appreciate that you do need to be fully committed. You just have to be a little bit careful with the challenge.
Yeah, we are going to mention Dimi Konstantopoulos. His second debut, like we said, for Hartlepool. 15 years, by the way, after the first. He was with the club in the mid-noughties for 4 or 5 years. Spent the majority of his time of his career at Hartlepool, of course. It was the FA Trophy first round. 41 years old now. He's on non-contract terms with the side. They were playing Harrogate Town. For about 75 minutes, everything was fine. They were 2-0 up. He'd saved a penalty from John Stead. Wily old campaigner, John Stead. But then 75 minutes hit. They concede an own goal. And then, sadly, you have to say, Dimi gifts Harrogate another two, and they win the game 3-2.
No, I felt for him, and it's that horrible one. You could just see it coming, the last one. The ball pumped into the air. He's under it. He's under it. He's not under it. The ball breaks free, and they score the winner, and it's a horrible moment. Again, every goalkeeper looking can sympathise. And the fact that the goal before that as well, he might have done a little bit better, and he's gone down with what looked like potentially an injury, but he has carried on. And then the final goal itself, as touched upon, it's horrible, especially when it's two like that and you end up losing the game by the single goal. I've certainly had a few games like that. There's a couple in particular I can remember where we've been two up and we've ended up losing the game 3-2, and there's nothing quite like it when you know that you could have done better for a goal or two and you've ended up throwing away a lead like that. That's the kind of night you go home and you don't sleep a wink.
Well, that pretty much wraps this week up on Between the Sticks here, Richard. But one final story that we started with, a lovely festive tale. We're going to finish with one as well. A good friend of yours, Ben Foster, and this has done the rounds on social media. Basically, to cut a long story short, he's driven past someone, an 80-year-old man, and has spotted him in a ditch on a dual carriageway, has stopped has offered him a season ticket and has actually invited him over for Christmas dinner. That's the crux of the story, but it goes a lot deeper than that.
It does. He's just a fantastic human being. So effectively, from what we understand, this particular gentleman had left the game. I believe he suffers with dementia and he's decided to walk home, like a 10-mile walk home. Ben, who was with his dad and his wife at the time, drove past him, saw him in a ditch struggling, turned the car around, went, picked him up, took him back home, as you mentioned, offered him over for Christmas dinner, offered for a season ticket for him next season. Again, doing it just out of the fact that he is a fantastic person. And as you say, it has then done the rounds on social media. People have picked up on it. But this is him, in fairness. Anyone that knows Ben, he's such a family orientated person. Obviously loves his football. You know, everyone watches him play. He plays with a smile. I love how he plays. It's something that impacted me personally a lot when I used to be in the same squad as him. There's a couple of games in particular that he was a massive help. One in particular, actually, probably my best ever game that I played. And I put it down to a conversation I had with Ben before the game. And it was away at Man City, drew the game 0-0. And I must have had about a half hour chat before because I was so nervous going into the game and speaking to Ben. And because Ben saw the game so differently to how I saw it, you know, he didn't put the kind of pressure on himself that I put on myself. He gave me a few words of wisdom. And bearing in mind, we're the same age. It was something that stuck with me. I went out and played effectively the game of my life. And he's somebody that even now I hold in such high regard for him continually doing what he's doing on the pitch. And then moments like this off the pitch, it sums him up.
I like the fact as well is that he's remained pretty silent around all of this while everybody else has been gushing on social media. And he's active on social media, Ben Foster. But I don't think from what I've seen that he's reacted to anything. He's just sort of let the story go.
No, you'll see some people retweet stuff and almost make a point of, look what I did. But, you know, like we did at the start of the show, pointing out the charity work that we do. It's exactly what we've just done. However, he's gone down the other route and he's stayed silent. And as you say, it's what it is. And no, I love that about him.
Perhaps we could learn a thing or two from Ben Foster. Indeed. That game against Manchester City, right? That was when City were right up there, like challenging with the title.
Yeah, they were good. We drew. I made a couple of saves from Joey Barton, if I remember rightly, Micah Richards, and live on Sky. Should have got man of the match in hindsight. I was interviewed at the end. I thought I was going to get gifted with it. And I think they gave it to Danny Shittu on the night, which I wasn't overly pleased with. But Danny played well. But, you know. But no, I do. I remember that. And at the end of the game, I just remember how happy Ben was for me as well, which is, you know, we talk about the Goalkeepers Union. We are the Goalkeepers Union. But of course, there is a little bit of competition between goalkeepers. And you sometimes wonder, is it genuine? But I knew it was. I played the game. He came and gave me a big cuddle afterwards. And he was so, so happy for me. And that stuck with me. And it's, again, one of the many reasons I got so much time for him.
Excellent. Not quite challenging for the title, to be fair. Joey Barton era. So you did well.
Look, I'm still claiming it as a 0-0 at Man City. Not many people. In fact, the last time that Watford had a clean sheet at Manchester City. So there you go.
Wow.
There you go.
There you go. With Richard Lee in goal, nothing is impossible to achieve. This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
We'll be back very, very soon. Of course, this is in association with Goalkeepers 365, GK Icon and Love Sport Radio. We'll see you next time.